You understand why when these scriptures, God says, I'll take care of you and meet all your needs. You'll have plenty and plenty left over to have an abundance if you obey me. Isn't that something? And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now let's take 9 and 10. As the scripture says, godly people give generously to the poor. Listen to what he's saying. Godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. When you give something to the poor, will God ever forget it? No, he won't ever. He keeps good records. He won't never forget it. Your good deed will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Now, he'll give you many opportunities. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes in the opportunities he gives us to do what he says, we miss it. But he gives us many opportunities. He puts many tests to us. Now, 11 and 12. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. So two good things will happen. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. Now, if there was ever a time when somebody will break out in worship and praise, is if they are having a real need, and you go over and meet that need. They will be grateful. Now then, today, there is a lot of people out there that have a real need. You know that? Boy, I have never seen it like I've seen it in this last year. There is so many people in need. And boy, we run into them. I mean, people come here to the church. People call. They want money. That's amazing. I've never seen it like this. We sure have helped a lot of people. In fact, so many people want to come here and live here. I tell them, nope, I'm sorry. I don't have a place for you to live, but I can help you out somehow. So verse 13 and 14, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, for your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, because he tells us to give. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God that of God shown through you. So when we give to people and help them, buy them food or whatever, and of course sometimes you have to use a little discretion, I guess. Discernment of spirits, I guess I should say, because I've been to some places, you know, when somebody walk up to me on the street, can you spare $5? I said, why? I haven't eaten in 3 days. I said, well, let's go into that little restaurant. I'll buy you a hamburger. No. I want the money. I said, no, if you hadn't eaten in 3 days, I'm going to take you in there and buy you a hamburger. I'm going to sit there and watch you eat it. So you won't just give me $5? No, but I'll feed you. That's okay. I want the money. Now, isn't that something? You reckon that guy was telling you the truth? No, he wasn't telling you the truth at all. If he hadn't eaten in 3 days and you offered him to go in and buy him a hamburger, he'd have went in there with you. He was lying. He wanted it for some other reason, either drugs or alcohol or something, but he didn't want something to eat. He was giving you a sad story, but when you offered to meet his need, he didn't want your help. Verse 15, thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful were words. And I will have to say, that is the understatement of the day. I mean, you know, when I think about what our King did for us so we can live in this wonderful place that we live, we can be blessed and we can have what we have, my goodness gracious alive. It is so awesome, this indescribable gift, Jesus, that belongs to us so we can do the things that we're going to do. Now, because of this wonderful gift that we have here, and because of what we're doing, we're going to move into the next chapter, verse 10. Now I, Paul, plead with you. I plead with the gentleness and kindness that Christ himself would use. Even though some of you say I am bold in my letters, but I'm timid in person. I hope it won't be necessary, but when I come, I may have to be very bold with those who think we act from purely human motives. You know, the church at Corinth must have been a rotten place. You know, when you really meditate on these two books, in fact, I heard a PhD one time say, actually, there was 4 letters written to the church at Corinth. but they only put two of them in the Bible because the other two had such strong language in them, they didn't put them in a book. Paul must have really got stern with the church in Corinth. He got pretty stern with them in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I will have to say. But let's look and see what he says here in verse 3 and 4. We are humans, yes, but we don't wage war with human plans and human methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. Wow. Most Christians never learn how to do that. When somebody attacks us, we attack them back with force. I mean fist first, you know, with words. We have no idea the power we have when we walk holy in obedience to God's word and the authority that he's given us. Verse 5 and 6. With these weapons, what are these weapons? So we're talking about weapons. What are they? Praying. That's the way you get it done. You come to the Lord in prayer. With these weapons, with prayer, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas and we teach them to obey Christ. And we will punish those who remain disobedient after the rest of you become loyal and obedient. You know, when you get a hold of these scriptures, when those scriptures became a revelation to me a few years ago, I can remember clearly that when I knew those scriptures, those words was in there and that I had these powerful weapons and this authority that was given to me over the forces of darkness, over Satan, and when I knew that all power was given to me over the devil and he had to obey me as the Son of God, when those scriptures, like Luke 10, 19, and 20 and on, those scriptures, when they became a revelation to me that this authority was literally given to me as the Son of God, and that had that kind of power that came out of my heart and my mouth that I could break down every stronghold of the devil to keep that people that would not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I had a power and authority to bring them into the kingdom of God. Just like people said, well, you know, but that person's got a free will. You know, you can pray, but you know nothing's going to happen. Don't believe that at all. Yeah, they got a free will only if you don't pray. If you pray, they ain't got a free will no more because Proverbs clearly says, Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord, and he turns it wherever he pleases. Now, why does God turn one man's heart to him and another man away from him? Because you and me are not praying. We're not exercising our authority. And when I learned all these things and knew that I had power and that I could change any human being on this earth in prayer, I can do it. I remember that time when I run into Larry. I've told this story, but it's an awesome story. I've not only done it for Larry, I've done it for lots of people. But whenever I met this guy, Larry, every other word out of his mouth was a foul word of profanity. I mean, he was a foul guy. He'd been married a couple of times. And he was just a really rough, tough guy. You know, he was about 50-something years old, and he'd been raised up for the first 10 years of his life in a Catholic church, and he hated Christians. He didn't want nothing to do with them, you know, because he'd see people who go to church and they'd do him wrong on a car deal on Monday morning, and he said, you know, them lousy thinking Christians, I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want to be one of them. He said, I'd rather be like I am, you know. He said, I ain't going to be a hypocrite. Well, how many times you heard people say, I ain't going to church because there's too many hypocrites down there. I know them. Well, yeah, there's a lot of them. But that's unfortunate, but we shouldn't be, you know. We should be men and women of God, men and women of integrity. But when I learned these scriptures, that morning that I met Larry, I shook hands with him and told him, I'm Thurman Scrivener, and how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm Larry. And I said, Larry, are you a Christian? Oh, no, I ain't no blankety-blank Christian, and I don't want to be one. You know, I mean, I just jumped back. Larry, I wouldn't even start to say all the foul words that come out of his mouth. No, I don't want to be no Christian. I said, well, okay, did you say your name was Larry Gooch? He said, yes, that's my name. Why? I said, because I'm going to pray for you and you're going to get saved. I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want to be saved. I said, you know, that's the devil talking out of your mouth, you know. And I said, I have complete power and authority over him. You ain't going to have a thing to say about this. I'm going to pray and take my authority, and I'm going to guarantee you're going to come into the kingdom of God and get saved. And this man walks off screaming, don't you pray for me. I don't want your blankety-blank prayers. If we only knew these scriptures, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the devil's strongholds that's blinding this man's mind. That's why I want y'all to pray for 40 days, somebody to pray. Because if we pray, if somebody's praying or praising God and thanking him for 40 days, somewhere you're going to ask him to do something that he wants to do for this church or for you or for somebody. He's going to do something great because of your prayer. I'll never forget the next morning. I'm going back to work. I'm driving down the road in my pickup, and I thought to myself, okay, now's the time to start on my little chore of getting Larry saved. I went to the throne of grace, the third heaven. I praised and worshiped the King that I have the privilege to come into the throne room of God. After I praised him and thanked him for a little while, I said, now then, Satan, you have to be subject to me. It is written in Luke 10, 19, and 20. So I said, Satan, come in here and sit in my pickup right there. I have a word for you today. I said, get down here. I said, now then, Satan, that you're there, I am commanding you to withdraw your wicked spirits off of Larry's mind and heart. You're blinding his mind with those foul spirits of hell and those wicked spirits in the heavenlies. I am commanding you in the name of Jesus to get your hands and your demons off of him and to stop blinding his mind. Now, how much authority and power do we have over the devil? Does he have to be subject to us? It is written. So in the name of Jesus, my weapons are not guns and knives. You can't hurt a spiritual being with guns and knives, but you can sure cut him asunder with the word of God, can't you? That's a double-edged sword that we carry. So I rebuked him and commanded him to get away. Now then I said, Satan, you can leave my truck. Go somewhere, but I don't want you no more. And so I now said, Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful promise in John 6:44. I want you to see what John 6:44 says. It's an awesome promise. Look at what this wonderful thing says here. For people can't come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them from the dead. Nobody can come until somebody's prayed for you.
You've been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled My Weapons Are the Word of God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.